Please remember this is an adults-only podcast and does contain some very sensual themes. So please only listen to this podcast if you are happy to explore your deepest sensual fantasies with me and are of a suitable age. Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to another edition of Wild in Bed, your destination for sensuous pleasure, erotic stories, and finger-licking good fantasies. Now, as I'm sure I don't need to remind you, you can go ahead and visit wilddesires.com and enjoy even more intense satisfaction and unending pleasure just by coming to see me. Now, as always, this podcast is best listened to while lying on your bed, loosen any clothing, or even better, get naked as you put your earbuds in and close your eyes and let my voice just wash over you as you enjoy Chapter 10 From Lamb to the Slaughter. Diane, I've always firmly believed that empathy is a requirement to be a good prosecutor. To understand the intention behind someone's actions, rather than just the act itself. Early in my career, when I was still in law school actually, I would take the time to read through a person's history more than anyone else. It didn't matter which side of the court they were on. As far as I was concerned, they were all my clients, in one way or another. The potted history of Dominic Delore sits before me. For anyone else, it might be one file. But that really doesn't describe the rainforest of paperwork towering over my desk. Dominic pretty much had everything go wrong in his life that any person can. As a kid, he had a freak accident that left him scarred for life, traumatized and fighting for his life from the injuries he suffered. Shortly after, his best friend died at the same site. He witnessed the gruesome murder of his parents, abuse at the hands of a foster parent. It makes me wonder how that all affected this young mind, a growing mind. Maybe Bob's insinuation is right. Perhaps I am misjudging him. After all, he's been through all of this, and he's never been charged with anything criminal at all. So he can't be all bad. Maybe I just misunderstood the whole sheep's and wolves philosophy. Maybe it was just the nerves being caught with my panties down. Maybe Judge Halland has got him all wrong. Jesus, how can I ever look him in the eye again? His family obviously had some money somewhere. He inherited C&E from a great uncle, along with the Tashar Forest. Someone had taken a keen interest in him at some point. Notes on the history of C&E were written in the back of a file. Apparently, it had existed in one form or another since records began. Or probably even further back. Prior to colonization, it had been a site used by the Caddo Native American tribe and had some connection to the Tashar Forest. Reading through the scrawled notes, the author believed the forest was a place for the elders in their latter years, somewhere they would take the young men of the tribe and teach them. There are other notes, but the years have taken too much of a toll on the ink to make them decipherable. Having a meeting planned with him later today, well, at least with his agent, to discuss Joseph Shawish, will give me an opportunity to discover more about him, and perhaps open my mind a little more. A young man's future is at stake, and I really can't let my prejudices threaten that. The drive to C&E Home for Children is pleasant and relaxing, as I take in some of the beautiful countryside. Where do people come up with these names? I really can't associate anything about foster children with that word. I just know it's made up. From a distance, it looks peaceful, inviting. The closer I get, the more imposing the stone walls appear. They seem to carry a presence all of their own. My sister, Lauren, who is very into anything spiritual, swears that buildings hold the atmosphere of the lives lived within them. Looking at C&E, I'm beginning to agree with her. The walls positively weep the pain of the children when you get near. Even with the birds singing in the spring morning and the flowers starting their first blush of vibrancy, the sadness is overpowering. Passing through the impressively oversized arched oak doors, I find myself in a very high and spacious corridor. A walk away from the dark, pokey corridors of Dominic's house. A sign helpfully directs me to the reception office, which turns out to be a room not much bigger than my sitting room. Full of, well, sitting room furniture. One desk in the far corner. But the bulk of the floor space is given to two sofas. A large coffee table. And a reclining chair that looks like it would swallow you as soon as you sat on it. A young, extremely enthusiastic lady makes a beeline for me the minute I walk in the door. "Can I help you?" She smiles, oozing genuine friendliness and a desire to help. A skill I could never master. "Miss Hightower from the prosecutor's office. To meet with Mr. Deleuze's agent?" Trying to sound as inoffensive as possible, my tone fails miserably. "Oh, Mr. Deleuze will be taking that meeting himself. Would you like tea, coffee, or water, perhaps, before I take you up?" She sounds for all the world like it would absolutely destroy her if I said I didn't want anything. I suspect there's a box of home-baked cookies under her desk, desperate to make an appearance. "Coffee, please. Black, two sugars," I venture, trying to make it as easy as possible. "Thank you. Let me take you up to Mr. Deleuze's office. I'll bring along your coffee shortly." While guiding me back to the corridor, it becomes obvious her enthusiasm isn't just reserved for the reception. I am hardly unfit, but it is a struggle to keep up with her as she dances along the corridors. Eventually, a large oak door stops her in her tracks, and she steps through, then indicates a tatty chaise lounge for me to sit on. Biting my lip to repress a giggle, it dawns on me that it's the same one as in his house. Is he expecting a repeat performance? My ass must be 2 inches from the heavily patterned material when a voice, his voice, that voice, growls somewhere from the back of the room. "Thank you, Rachel." 3 little words. Nothing more, nothing sexual. So why the hell is my pussy suddenly screaming at me with a ferocious wet lust dripping from her lips? "No problem, Mr. Delore. I will bring the coffee through presently." Rachel turns and closes the door gently, no doubt to enthusiastically go and make my coffee. "Miss Hightower, a pleasure to meet you again. Please, relax. The chaise lounge is perfectly comfortable, and it's so old that it doesn't matter if you spill anything on it." There's almost a sound of humour in his words, and I'm undoubtedly blushing. I can feel it burning through me. Shit. I also know that that's not the only thing that's burning hot through me just now. Squeezing my thighs together to try and control what the hell seems to happen every time he speaks. I'm suddenly wishing like hell that I'd worn pants or a longer skirt. How does this man light a hot fire in my sex every time he opens his mouth? "You want to discuss Joseph Shoish, I believe." That's right, I answer somberly. "Obviously, before a few days ago, I had never heard of you. And now I'm told that you foster challenging children from the state. I'd just like to know a bit more about what you do," I add. desperately trying to sound like I am the one in control of this meeting. But knowing full well that I'm lying to myself, I'm a freaking state prosecutor, for God's sake. How can a man so easily affect me without touching me? He's not even flirting. And yet my whole body is screaming lustful things. These children are seen as too aggressive for normal foster care, Miss Hightower. He responds in that stern baritone voice that reverberates through my bones. My God, I could listen to him speak all day. And should they enter the juvenile correction system? Well, they will be criminals before the age of 18. We both know this. I simply offer an alternative. His voice drips with seductive tones that I just want to sink into. A way to focus their energies into something more positive. These are tomorrow's wolves, Miss Hightower. If we let them be destroyed by the injustice of the sheep state, all that potential would be wasted. Every time he says Miss Hightower, I become more and more aware of my thighs trying to part. What the fuck is happening here? Betrayed by my own body. I get that, and I applaud your efforts. I just want to know how you focus their minds, so I can sleep easily at night. An enthusiastic knock at the door breaks the flow of conversation, hopefully giving me a chance to compose myself before round two. Come, he states, with an authority full of power and command. For fuck's sake. I feel that one word all the way through my body, and I almost lose it completely. What the hell is this man doing to me? The door swings open, and Rachel somehow manages to balance a tray of coffee and, yes, cookies, while she dances across the floor. It really is quite impressive to watch. Thanking her as she places the tray on the occasional table next to me, I become acutely aware of a leather bookmark glaring at me. The only difference I can see between the one he gave me and this one are the tassels that adorn this one, giving it an almost Celtic feel. Dominic thanks Rachel as she dances back out of the room. The cookies she makes herself. Pride drips from his voice. I knew it. Viennese whirls, they're called. They're English, not Austrian, despite the name. I gave her a recipe some time ago, and she's made it 100 times better. The orange topping, I think, adds to the flavour. They really do melt on your tongue. Shit, I wish he hadn't said that. With every breath in my body, I really don't need to think about anything melting on anyone's tongue. With my thighs tensing in anticipation of an orgasm that can't happen for many hours yet, God, it's going to be a long day. For the first time since I arrived, he steps out of the shadows, Okra and Amber only a pace behind him. I really didn't know what to expect when I came here today. I'm aware of the accident when he was 7. I'm aware of how he keeps himself out of the public eye as much as possible. I can feel the tension building in my body. The anticipation as he takes those first steps out of the shadows. He seems taller than I remember. Maybe a touch over 6 foot. And broader. The midnight blue suit he adorns has been tailored to flatter his body. The shadows of the other evening had hidden the length of his hair, which now seems messy and unkempt. Almost deliberately so. Not the style of someone who doesn't care about how they look, but someone who damn well knows they look good with messy hair. A well-trimmed beard emerges from the bottom of that mask. His arctic blue eyes framed by the leather, much the same way an artist frames a painting to enhance its beauty. The mask ensures I can only focus on 2 places as he speaks, his eyes and his lips. The sounds drip salaciously from his lips, speaking a language my body obviously understands perfectly. As if in a trance, as he speaks his next words, I focus, mesmerized by the movement of his full lips. So you understand the why? Would you like to know the how, Ms. Hightower? every vowel perfectly placed between my thighs. It's almost as if he is deliberately thrusting every word straight at my clit. Fuck, what is happening to me? My brain has obviously left the building. How on earth am I going to work with this man? The savage guard dog of justice is rolling on her back and begging for her tummy to be tickled. Before I get into the how, let me explain. All the children I adopt are wolves, young cub wolves, but with the right guidance they can become strong, independent wolves. Unrestricted by the corruption of the sheep, they can offer a very positive contribution to society. I help them focus their mind, accentuate the positive of who they are, help them embrace the passion of their being. I help them become the young people they are destined to be. Now, I know the state system doesn't really pay much attention to my techniques because of the unfailing results I achieve. But I can tell you that I have two pillars to my approach: physical exercise and self-awareness. Pausing to wet his lips, my eyes haven't left the movement of his tongue for a second. The physical exercise is self-evident, but the self-awareness is unorthodox. To speed up this process, I use hypnosis heavily. The hypnosis allows them to embrace the pain of their lives and make it their own, to take control. Tell me, Ms. Hightower, have you ever been hypnotized? Desire builds in my body, just by the soft growl in his voice, making me completely unaware of the conversation that's just happened. It's apparent that he is waiting for an answer to a question I hadn't even noticed him asking. Desperately in my mind, I rewind the conversation. Hypnosis? Is that what this is? No, I haven't. It's all making people act like chicken on a stage, isn't it? No, that is hypnosis, but a particular type. Maybe I will explain how it works for you one day. For now, let me just say that hypnosis can never make someone do something they don't want to do. The kids are hypnotized to help them learn coping strategies very quickly. In a matter of days, I can do things that would take an army of therapists months to achieve otherwise. But because it is so unregulated, the state can't be seen to support it in any way. Tell me, have you ever felt lost in your work? Working on a case and the hours just disappear? Well, of course, I respond bluntly. Hasn't everyone? That's what hypnosis is like, Miss Hightower. It's not a lack of focus, but a hyper-focus. His words drip nectar. This man could read the shipping forecast and I could orgasm just by listening to him. I feel like I'm being sucked into the maelstrom of his resonant sounds moving through my body. You have a curious mind. The proof is in the doing. So why not try it? Now. The now on the end of his words commands me, beckons me. God, it seduces me here and now. How can I say no to anything this man asked me to do? Okay, I all but whimper. But I won't do anything I don't want to. Quite correct. He responds with the same tone of humor in his words. Just relax. We will only do a quick session, maybe a little playful visualization. You don't have to do anything. Nothing to worry about. Nowhere to be. When you're ready to go into trance, just take a nice deep breath. Without thinking or willing it, my lungs expand to capacity. And hold it for a count of 3, 2, 1. Let it go with a sigh, all the way down. Relaxation spreading from the top of your head to the tip of your toes. Every word I say, every breath you take, guiding you deeper and deeper. As much as I try to cling on to the words, they become like sand dripping through my fingers. I can feel myself relaxing, and it feels so good. His voice is my sole focus, which has been the case since he said good morning. In a moment, I'm going to pass you something. An everyday item. I want you to caress the item, feel it. Notice everything about it. Focus just on that item. And as you focus on that item, you will find yourself drifting further and further into trance. The rest of the world just drifts away as I feel the leather of a bookmark caress my palm. Fondling it between my fingers, I can feel every grain, every mark. Somehow my senses are heightened, but just for the bookmark. And as you continue to caress the bookmark, you might have missed how that bookmark seems to be magically connected to your body. Now I don't know where it might connect to your body. Maybe your lips, your stomach, or perhaps your pussy. But every time you stroke that bookmark, you can feel that sensation through that part of your body. Somewhere in the salacious mist of his voice, I'm aware of my thighs parting, my sex becoming a burning inferno, desire dripping through my already soaked panties. My God, this man's voice, all I can think of is him speaking to me with his head between my thighs. And as you stroke the bookmark, harder and harder, you can feel that sensation getting more and more intense. You might notice how the grain of the bookmark seems to grow. The more you stroke the bookmark, the more it grows. The more it grows, the more intense the sensations burning through your body. Jesus, I'm clutching so bad, so hard. Dying to feel satisfaction, hungry, desperate, turned on out of my mind. Rubbing the bookmark viciously with my thumb, that ache in my lower belly moving lower with every word as he speaks. But you know you can't come, not until I say. And when I say come now, you will come harder than you can ever remember coming. But not until I say, come now. Nod your head if you agree. I nod, despite my burning need to orgasm. Good girl. Now, as you stroke the bookmark, you might notice how it has a slightly metallic feel to it, as if it was peppered by little spikes. And as you caress the spikes, you can notice how they sting just a little bit, and perhaps accentuate all the sensations in your body. Every little spike exciting every cell, every nerve, every fibre of your body. The spikes will not cut you or injure you. They just sting as much as you can take. The more they sting, the stronger the sensation of pleasure moving through your body. God, it feels like I'm rubbing over nails. Everyone sending sensations throughout my body. My body aches for stimulation, for pain, for relief. In a moment, I will count from 1 to 5. As I say every single number, you will spank your pussy with the bookmark. You will feel that sting of the pleasure with every touch, every spike biting at your clit, your lips, and with every number, the sensation will become 100 times stronger. But you cannot come, not until I say the number 5. And when I say the number 5 and tell you to come now, you will come harder than you have ever come before. 1. Jesus, the thrash of the bookmark on my lips, the nails biting into my clit. 2. Again, stronger. Fuck, this hurts. It feels so intense, so good. 3. Harder still. 4. I must be bleeding. Every inch of my pussy burns with pain and desire, with longing. Not yet. 2. For fuck's sake, let me come. 3. Uncontrollable passion burns through my body like hot wildfire. My lips sting in ecstasy, wanting to orgasm, wanting to be sated. 4. Please, let me orgasm now. 5. Come now. Fuck! The nails bite into my lips, my clit. The stinging sensation burns through to my core. Everything between my thighs is electrified with pain. My orgasm explodes as I slip down the chaise lounge. Take a moment and let the waves of pleasure move over your body. The orgasm floods up and down my body. God, I have never had a full orgasm before. Well, not until now. In a moment, I will count from 1 to 5. And when I get to 5, you will be fully awake and completely satisfied. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Back in the room. Awareness flickers back through my body. Not sure if I've just dreamed all of this, or if it is really happening. One thing that I am sure about is my pussy is burning with pain and singing with delight. As you see, Miss Hightower, hypnosis is just a path to relaxation. A way of focusing the mind on a single thought. You might want to adjust yourself a little, for decency. Suddenly aware of my skirt around my waist, I stand up quickly to allow it to drop. My current situation seems to be an ongoing thing around Dominic. A daze of confusion still surrounds me. Had he really just got me to spank my most personal lady parts area in front of him? Had I just obliged him? As I said, hypnosis can't make you do anything you don't want to do. The art is knowing what people really want to do. Joseph will be arriving soon. I hope I have clarified my intentions and methods. I have no doubt. There is plenty you will want to discuss later. For now, I have last-minute preparations to do. We do like to make our guests feel welcome when they arrive. So just please relax, drink your coffee. If you need more, just dial 0, and Rachel will bring you some more. And I'm pretty sure there will be some more of her cookies, if you desire. Shock doesn't even begin to cover what I feel at the moment as I watch him leave his office. My body stings in a way I never thought possible. It feels good in ways I never could have dreamed of. What the absolute fuck is happening to me? So, I hope you've enjoyed Chapter 10. Of course, next week, next Wednesday, we'll be having Chapter 11. And probably 12, because 11's not that long. There you go. I'll see how nice I feel. Now, I am doing a special bonus podcast tomorrow, so you're welcome to join me. Something a little different. Not long. But for those 10 minutes, I would love to have your company as we get wild again. So until then, and always with your pleasure in mind, this is Devlin Wild, wishing you salacious dreams. Now, as you have enjoyed this show this evening, you can go ahead and subscribe to my podcast so you don't miss another salacious episode. And you know you can go ahead and visit me at wilddesires.com and grab your own free experiential erotic story just for coming.